to a deeper look in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of 1 Timothy. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
I was the worst one. Now, if I'm the worst one, and he can clean up the worst one, then there's hope for you. There's hope for you. And Paul knew his God. He knew his God. He said, to the King eternal. Is Jesus the King?
Yes, he is.
He's what kind of king? He's an eternal king. He's not a temporary king. He's an immortal king. Immortal. He's an immortal king. In other words, Christ is not like a mortal man who will rot and decay. He's incorruptible, undefiled. You don't have to worry about him decaying, vanishing off the scene.
Oh, no.
And then he's invisible. Mm-hmm. He's invisible. He's there when you don't even know he's there. He's there.
Right.
He's an invisible. He can get in even when the doors are locked.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's an invisible God. We got to give him glory, Paul says, and honor. And give it to him every day. He said, forever and ever, amen. So Paul is challenging Timothy to go on and really preach this gospel. Because it's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to work. Now, Paul charged Timothy here with responsibility. What is the minister's responsibility to the gospel? What is his responsibility to the gospel? The minister has the responsibility to promote God's goodness and to eliminate evil in the house of God. That's the primary task of the government of the church. Matter of fact, God has ordained government. Government itself is one of the institutions of God. The first institution of God was what? It was the home. The home is the first institution of God. The second institution of God that we read about in Scripture is government. God gave Noah the authority when he came out of that boat to operate by promoting God's goodness, but at the same time eliminating that which is evil, even with the death penalty. So the government only has two responsibilities: to create an environment that good can flourish, and then to eliminate the evil in that society. And whenever government switches, God eliminates the government. Sodom and Gomorrah, they switched it. They allowed evil to flourish and good to be under the foot. God destroyed it. Egypt, they allowed evil to flourish and good to be placed under the foot. God destroyed it. Babylon, evil flourished, good suppressed. God destroyed it. Rome, evil flourished, good suppressed. God destroyed it. And God's judgment is swinging now right on America and in England.
Yes, it is.
God set up America to promote the gospel, gave us the money, the means, the gateways of the world, the power to do it, the ability to do it, the communication language to do it. And now evil is flourishing. The government promotes evil. Rather than promoting good, they're suppressing good, and God's judgment is coming.
Uh-huh. All right.
The same thing about a church. A church must be set up to create an environment where people can live holy, godly lives and then suppress and eliminate evil. But anytime a church reverses that, they allow evil to flourish and don't focus in on raising up the standard of God to goodness, God eliminates that church.
Yes, he will.
And so he tells Timothy, he charged Timothy. Look at what how he charged him here in beginning in verse number 18 and 19. He charged Timothy to defend the gospel. He said, this command. Now notice, why did Paul call Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus? We learned that last week. Why did he put Christ before Jesus? Isn't Jesus Christ, isn't Christ Christ's last name? It's just like Timothy Wilbert. I mean, you wouldn't go around saying Wilbert Timothy, would you? Is that how it is when we say Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus? No. Christ is not his last name. Now, some of you may think that Jesus Christ is Christ's last name. It's not his last name. Christ is basically his title. Christ would be just like saying Pastor Wilbert. Mm-hmm. See, pastor is not my name. Pastor is my title. Uh-huh. You see what I'm saying? My name is Wilbert, but pastor is just the office that I hold. And same thing with Jesus Christ. Christ is the office that he holds. He holds the office of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. He holds the office of the anointed one. He holds the office of man's savior, being the savior of mankind. So when he says Christ Jesus, he says, you are operating under the authority of Christ. Uh-huh. I command you with the authority of Christ. Uh-huh. This command, and then notice the other word, I entrust. Uh-huh. That word entrust basically means to give into the care of, to be a caretaker of something. Paul says, not only have God commanded you to preach this gospel, but he done put this precious gospel in your care. Uh-huh. A minister or whoever teaches the word of God must see that God has given them the word of God like a treasure. Mm-hmm. This is God's treasure. And you need to be careful how you treat God's treasure. See, the way that a minister treats the word of God is how he lives his life. Uh-huh. If he treats the word of God loosely, really don't examine the text, then he's going to have an unexamined life. If he don't put much time into the word, then he's not going to be putting much time into how to live life successfully. Uh-huh. It's how a minister handles the word will tell you how he's going to live his life. If he handles the word in a deceitful way, then he's going to live his life in a deceitful way. So he's telling Timothy, Timothy, this thing has been entrusted to you. Be careful. I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some has rejected, suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. So he's charging Timothy here that Timothy, you're going to have to take this gospel and you're going to have to defend it. You're going to have to protect this gospel. In other words, don't just let anybody say anything concerning this gospel in the house of God. Wrong information leads to wrong living.
Yes, it does.
Be careful. That's what he's telling Timothy. If folks are going to live the right way, then they got to have the right information. If they don't get the right information, then they're not going to live the right way, Tim.
Right, right.
And that's what he's saying. He's saying, now, Timothy, you're operating under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a trust that has been given to you. Timothy, it was already prophesied that you are the man. The prophets came. During those days, they had prophets even in the church. The apostles, they normally said things, divine revelation as pertaining to the whole church, the word of God. In other words, they got a direct word from God. But normally when a prophet showed up, he had a direct word for you. Just like Paul, the prophet showed up there at Ephesus, there in Jerusalem, and told Paul, that Paul, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to get arrested. And Paul says, I'm both ready to die and to suffer. None of these things move me. And sure enough, when he got there to Jerusalem, Paul was arrested. And so he's saying, Timothy, it was prophesied already, Tim, that you was going to be the man for this job. Now the time done came for you to do this job. Mm-hmm. You the man. So don't be going around waiting on somebody. You the man. All right. Jesus done chose you. The gospel done been entrusted to you. It done been prophesied. Timothy, what more do you need? You the man. You the man. You the man. Do you know God always have his people at the right place at the right time? Remember Esther? Uh-huh. Esther was at the right place at the right time. Uh-huh. It was such a time as this. And so often, God already have who he want to do what he want done, and we are looking around waiting on somebody else to show up. God said, no, you already know what to do. You just need to go on and do it. Now notice, he told Timothy about he need to hold on to the faith. Uh-huh. Fight the good fight of faith. This word fight is the word agony. It's kind of like hand-to-hand combat. Have you ever wrestled with somebody? Just wrestling. And after a while, you know, you just get tired. You get tired. That's the thing about wrestling. You know, now if you're just going to fight somebody, you know, you got some room to what have you. But when you add on, when you do this kind of hand-to-hand kind of fighting, man, you get tired, you get weak, and a lot of times you want to give up. Yeah, I'll never forget the time I got in a fight. I was wondering, when somebody going to come and break us up? Yeah, man, you get tired quick. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy, you know, to keep fighting this fight of faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. The devil is trying to take away your faith.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. He's trying to discourage you to, number one, give up on God. Uh-huh. And then give up on the people of God. No, you can't count on God. No, you can't count on them folks. No, God don't love you. Them folks over there don't love you either.
Amen.
So I might as well not go to church. Uh-huh. Yeah, nobody them really love me. Nobody really care about me. And you got to fight through that. Every day you just got to fight through it. You got to fight through it, fight through it, fight through it. This is the agony of faith. Mm-hmm. You got to add on. Agony of faith. Fighting a good fight of faith. Keeping faith. And do you know faith and a good conscience go together?
Yes, it does.
When you practice the Bible, then you have a good conscience. Mm-hmm. But when you don't practice the Bible, then your conscience bothers you.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, your conscience bothers you when you don't practice the Bible. And the devil knows that. See, what the devil want to do in a Christian life is say, well, they done got saved now. You think the devil pack up his bags and go home out of your life? The devil say, okay, now they saved, but they ain't enjoyed this salvation. I'm going to steal that joy. I'm going to steal that joy. They ain't going to be happy. Matter of fact, they're going to be going around talking about, you know, I was happier when I was unsaved than when I'm saved. I'm going to make them say that. That's what I'm going to make them say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You got to keep that faith.
Amen.
You got to keep that faith so you can have a good conscience. Because if not, you're going to have a shipwreck. Uh-huh. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to get off course and you're going to get shipwrecked. You know, when you get shipwrecked, just like Gilligan's Island, you're going to be stuck. You're not going to be able to go where you ought to go and do what you ought to do. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be scrambled. And that's what the devil want to do. He want to scram Christians. He want to get them in a bag. He's going to come in their life, mess up their life so bad that you can't get out of it. It's been a bad fix. And if somebody don't come and rescue you, then you're going to be stuck. And that's what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. Now notice, they has the devil, what he done, he done planted some folks right in the church to shipwreck you.
Come on there, make it plain.
Now that's something, man.
Yes, it is, man.
He done planted folks right in the church to shipwreck Christians. That devil is something else, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
He don't give up. Notice, right there in the church, Paul talked about two fellas that was in the church, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Paul says, whom I have delivered over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. They've been saying the wrong thing about God. That's blaspheming. When a preacher get up and say the wrong thing about God, that's blaspheming. See, over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see that this man, Hymenaeus, notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. We are familiar with this verse. He says, study to show yourself approved, notice, not to your Sunday school teacher.
All right.
Not to your husband, not to your wife. He says, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Notice, but he said, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. See, it's going, whatever you hear, it's going to take you someplace. Notice, verse 17, and their talk was spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now notice, verse 18, what were these men teaching? Men who had gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. And thus they upset the faith of some. What's the foundation of our faith? The resurrection.
Yes, sir.
What gives us hope? Paul says, if Jesus did not rise from that grave, then we of all men are most miserable. And what they're teaching, they're saying, well, it ain't going to be no more resurrection. That's it. It's just Jesus done rose, but we ain't getting back. Have you ever seen somebody of them get back up? See, they was teaching. See, the early church, they thought that Jesus was going to come back any day. And so over in the book of Thessalonians, those Christians, they were sitting around. Why y'all ain't working? Well, we waiting on Jesus to come back. And then folks started dying. And they said, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was going to come. Well, he ain't came back. I mean, what's going on? Well, at least we got hope. Okay, they died in the faith. And so we got hope for the resurrection. Then these guys spoke, ain't going to be no resurrection. Well, I don't know if I need to keep believing in this Jesus thing. Man, I mean, I'm getting old, and I need to find the truth. And so a lot of these folks was giving up. They was giving up. And that's why Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he talked about we shouldn't cry as if we don't have no hope. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And it said, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air.
Amen.
So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then it said, comfort one another with these words. The truth. The truth. And so in the early church, the big thing then was the resurrection. the resurrection. So folks don't understand, nah, there ain't gonna be no more resurrection. That's it. That's it. And so a lot of this incarnation, reincarnation and all of that started coming in there. And so folks, you know, they started going doing a lot of other stuff. And so you can see that if a person don't have the gospel truth and are anchored to the gospel truth, man, you could just go on and get off the track and get into almost anything.
Yes, that's
sir.
Right. Amen.
Shipwreck. 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 Many of you know many Christians who was raised in the church, but now they are involved in other religions.
Mm-hmm.
Done shipwrecked their faith. Their faith done got shipwrecked. And the worst thing is when somebody in them is in the church, it's been used by Satan to take you out of the church.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you have them kind of people, Paul says you need to get rid of them. You need to get them on out of the church.
Uh-huh.
Now, notice here what Paul says, and we're going to finish up our lesson looking at this verse 20. Excommunicating evil out of the church. Excommunicating evil out of the church. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 20, he says that I done delivered over to Satan. He said, I done delivered over to Satan. I already done delivered these people over to Satan. Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about basically church discipline, excommunicating out of the church. Now, and using Satan as a tool to bring forth repentance. Okay, now, God uses Satan in his program. A lot of times we say, why come God just won't get rid of the devil? Well, he's using the devil.
Uh-huh. Right.
See, the devil won't come on God's side. God said, that's all right, I'll still use you.
Amen.
See, whether a person becomes saved or not saved, God says, I still can use you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God used unsaved people in his program. God used Pharaoh. He used them.
Yes,
he said, okay, Pharaoh, you don't want to be a good guy? Okay, I need somebody to play a bad guy. All right, well, you play the bad guy then. You would, it would have came out better, you would have played the good guy. But by you playing the bad guy, that's what you want to play? All right. That's what you want to play. God got a program. And man makes a charge where he want to play on, you know, on God's program. So Satan done made his charge that he want to play the bad guy. But God can use Satan to even work something good. Now, we saw God turn Satan loose in people's life. The first case we saw was in Job's life. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
In Job chapter 1. Let's turn over there right quick. Job chapter 1. We see God turn Satan loose in the life of Job. See, when a believer is operating under the authority of God, obeying the scriptures, then they have like an umbrella of protection. It's like a hedge of protection. The devil can't get in. Only God would have to let down the hedge in order to let the devil in. Now notice what the book of Job says in Job chapter 1, verse number, let's pick up in verse number 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God, these are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Why is that? Satan has to give an account to God.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Sit down.